drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
To the CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN 1000. Also, you can catch us on 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Also, you can find us on YouTube as well. It's all brought to you by Glenview Park Golf Club here on the CDGA Golf Show. And happy U.S. Open weekend to you, Mike Gilligan. As we have had quite the first two rounds of the U.S. Open so far. It's been a lot of fun to watch. Obviously, there's been the drama between LIV and the PGA Tour. This is the first mixing between the two entities since the merger was announced a couple of weeks ago. But now you look at what we have at this point on the U.S. Open leaderboard, and boy, has it been cool to see Ricky Fowler go out there and make some history. He is tied with the lowest first two round scores in U.S. Open history, along with Martin Kaymer, from what he did back in 2014. 10 under, has fired a 130 through the first two rounds. He has been fantastic. And Ricky Fowler's one of those guys. I bet if you just surveyed the casual fan up and down State Street here and asked them the simple question, does Ricky Fowler have a major? I bet you would get way more yeses than nos. But that is obviously not the case, as he is still in search for that first major. He's only played in a handful in the last 5 years, too. We haven't really seen a whole lot of Ricky Fowler over the last five or so years. But here he is, after 2 days, leading the U.S. Open.
Absolutely amazing. And good morning, Tyler. Good morning, everybody here in Chicago. And happy early Father's Day to all the dads out there. This is one of my, well, it's my second favorite week of the year in golf because the Masters is truly the first. But I love our nation's Open. And to your point about Ricky, yeah. In fact, coming down here, somebody even asked me, is Ricky going to get his second major? And I'm like, it'd be his first,
yeah.
You know? And to your point, people think the guy's won majors. He's, to me, I kind of compare him to the Anna Kournikova of golf, yeah, in a weird way. Everyone knows his look, loves his look. He's got the dashing Hollywood, you know, looks, if you will. Dresses, loves that color orange, which I'm sure we're going to see loud and proud tomorrow. Yeah. But it's so fun to see him back in there. He's a great personality. He does some amazing commercials on TV for some of the sponsors that he works with. He's just a fun, likable guy. But I'll tell you what, Butch Harmon has worked some magic with him. He's tweaked his swing. He's rebuilt that guy mentally and physically. And he is on the biggest stage doing the biggest things. And it would not surprise me in the least if he is crowned the United States champion come tomorrow afternoon. Actually, I should say tomorrow night.
Evening. Yeah. Which is, that's another thing I want to get to with you, because primetime golf is a lot of fun.
Primetime golf is the best.
And we'll talk a little bit about that a little later on. But you and I have had the conversation a couple of times so far this summer of, all right, let's kind of go through a list. Who could be the first time major winners that we see this year? And like John Rahm, not a first time guy. Brooks Koepka, not a first-time guy. But now, I don't think either you or I had Ricky Fowler as a part of our list. One of the other guys who's kind of hovering around there, Xander Schauffele, I think that is a name that we've brought up. But you and I have not brought up Ricky Fowler's name as being a guy that could potentially win his first major this year. He's almost felt like an afterthought of golf. Like, you know who he is, right? He's going to be the guy who on Sunday is going to slither his way in for a top 10, but really he's not going to do any sort of damage and make you think, that's a guy that's going to go out and make some noise in a major.
No, in fact, I think Ricky would have fallen in the category as most likely to leave to go to live at one point.
Yes. Yeah. No. I was thinking about this too the other day. I was like, I'm almost sort of shocked he's not a member of Liv, because it kind of would feel a little Bubba Watson-y, right? Like, he's got the big personality. Everybody knows who Ricky is, but Ricky really hasn't backed it up on the course over the last couple of years. And you just look at since 2021, he's only played in four majors, got cut from one of them, and has finished outside the top 20 in the other two. So he hasn't made a lot of noise in the major fields so far, these last couple of years, I should say. And it's just kind of been confusing where we're at with Ricky Fowler. I mean, the guy's been playing in majors since 2008. He had that amazing year in 2014 where he finishes top five and across the board. But outside of that, you haven't really seen the dominant Ricky Fowler over the course of his entire career.
No, and in fact, I think a lot of people thought, well, Ricky was that flash in the pan. He's got his money from his endorsers. He's kind of taking it less seriously. The practice regimen just isn't there. But what a lot of people don't really know, you know, under those dashing good looks of Ricky Fowler is a competitor, is a guy who still wants to win and can win and knows he can win, and really has taken this past year as an opportunity to rebuild, restructure a swing that can hold up when it needs to hold up most. And we're going to put that to the test in the next 36 holes.
312-332-3776. Is Ricky the guy you're pulling for? Because he seems like one of the most lovable guys in the entire sport. You see the outfits. You mentioned the orange. I mean, they're showing him on the TV right now and what he was wearing the other day. I don't even know. Is that floral? Is that, like, what is that he's rocking right there?
Yeah.
But he has just been one of those eccentric personalities in the sport. And it would be really cool, I think, to see him walk away with his first major. But 312-332-3776, you want to join us here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. You look at the rest of the leaderboard, I mean, some pretty good names inside this top 10, top 15 or so here. Ricky's leading the way. Wyndham Clark in second right now. That's a name that I'm sure a lot of people aren't very familiar with. And then Rory McIlroy and Xander Schauffele. Story of the day of day one. Ricky goes out, shoots his record-setting 62. Never been done before. 8 under. And then, boom, 20 minutes later, Xander Schauffele's in the clubhouse signing his card with a 62 as well. So pretty fascinating stuff. You look at the way the course sort of played that first day. I mean, when, I don't think I've heard the term marine layer as many times as I have over the last 2 days.
Yeah.
I had like a little biology PTSD or meteorology PTSD from the last couple of days, hearing all about the marine layer and how it has retained a lot of the moisture. And it's really allowed a lot of these guys to just throw some darts on the green.
Right, and we need to have Tracy Butler and Cheryl Scott use marine layer, I think, a lot more around here, because we do have a body of water here, and I think it does get cloudy, but not in the same way that what the ocean does out there in California. And I think the USGA officials, in terms of preparing that golf course, you know, got the weather wrong. And they really thought it was going to be, you know, hot, dry, traditional California weather going on this time of the year. So they made the golf course, created the golf course as a canvas to be ready for that weather. And when they got this, you could almost feel the USGA officials, you know, cringing, because they knew they had an issue on their hands in day one. And with those fairways being as wide as they are for some, I mean, you can't make it hard enough for these guys. And when the, you know, the predicted conditions don't go the way you thought, you just turn this from a U.S. Open into the Sammy Davis Jr. Hartford Open presented by Canon. I mean, if they didn't do something yesterday, we were looking at 22, 24 under par to win this thing.
Yeah.
At the pace they were going. So thankfully, the sun did come out yesterday. It's going to be out for the next couple of days based on the weather reports I have since seen for that area of the country. And I think we're in for a humdinger, and it's going to be on primetime. It's going to be fun. We've got a bunch of first-time potential winners out in the leaderboard right now. We've got a few villains in there, and the Dustin Johnsons of the world, and Cam Smith lurking in the distance. But it's just going to be a whole lot of fun. And we got a guy, Sam Bennett.
Yeah.
I know a guy that's sitting pretty close to me that picked Sam Bennett, which... amazing pick on your part.
But for our fantasy guy, golf, yes.
Yeah, this guy is, I mean, I'm just surprised at how composed and how well he is playing at this early stature of his career. This guy gets up for the big courses, the big events. He could technically win the U.S. Amateur and the U.S. Open within a 12-month period.
You know who he, like the kind of, you talk about the big game hunting there? Got a little Brooks in him.
Yeah, he does.
Got a little Brooks Koepka in him.
But you know what? He's also got that little Southern Texas twang where he comes off all innocent, but he is built like an assassin in that regard. He comes off calm, cool, fun-loving, but he is an absolute assassin out there, and he is a lot of fun to watch.
No doubt about that. All right, I do want to bring you some historical stuff. You talked about, all right, our leader right now through two rounds is 10 under. All right, we don't see that very often, but I want to bring that to the forefront here, give you some of what we really see scores-wise over the last 10 or so U.S. Opens. We'll get you all that when we come back here. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. You want to talk U.S. Open with us, 312-332-3776. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
We've got a good view from behind. Seeing here that flag's picking up a little bit right to left. Is he going to use the slope?
No, this is pulled. Played it safe. Good shot, but played it safe.
Got it again. This time from the Barranca originally. And putted like that. So he matches Fowler at 8 under.
That was tough.
This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan with you on the CDGA Golf Show right here on ESPN 1000. It's been a fun leaderboard so far. Ricky Fowler, your leader at 10 under. You heard there, carding a 62 in round one to break the record. And then 20 minutes later, in comes Xander Schauffele with a 62 of his own. It was one of the shortest records I think we've seen held at a U.S. Open right there. 312-332-3776 if you want to join us here on this U.S. Open Saturday as moving day upon us here later on today. It's kind of nice having this primetime golf. It's cool to watch. It's. I was telling you the other day, I finish up at work at 8:30. I go home, get home little before 9, turn on the TV, and I'm not even thinking like golf is going to be on. But then I turn on the TV and it's like giving you the suggestions, and boom, there's the U.S. Open, and you see them wrapping up, and there's still daylight out in L.A., and it's just kind of nice to have this primetime golf. I haven't seen any TV ratings yet for the U.S. Open, but I'd imagine they'd be pretty good given the fact that the U.S. Open coverage goes so late.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would think they would. And, you know, that begs the question, would the executives prefer the U.S. Open over in the Eastern time zone or the Western time zone? When it's in the Western time zone, it allows us to, A, sleep in, go play golf, get all your chores done around the house, the honeydews, and then you've got the rest of the day and evening to sit back and watch golf. And it doesn't go off the air, you know, at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the afternoon or evening. So we're just getting started at 5:40 Central Time. The final group tees off, which is sort of odd, which I prefer, which, you know, I think you know, I'd love to hear from the listeners. What would you prefer? Do you prefer
it
being on early British Open style or having the U.S. Open in the Eastern time zone? Or do you like it the way it is now? Mm-hmm. And you don't have any real golf to wake up to, per se, unless you are watching the DP World Tour on mm-hmm. Golf Channel. But otherwise, yeah, I think this is actually a refreshing change for us and something I really could get into quite candidly.
Yeah, like, do you prefer the Pinehurst where it is an early riser, or do you prefer getting something like LA Country Club or Pebble Beach or something like that? 312-332-3776. So I do have some of these television ratings here. The primetime U.S. Open coverage on NBC, this is from Thursday night, averaged 2.4 million viewers if you include Peacock, and that is a 23% spike in viewership from the afternoon window coverage last year. And so obviously you get that bump with primetime, and then USA Network, they had their 7 hours of coverage, and that averaged about 1.2 million, which is up 42% from last year. And Peacock's exclusive morning window chipped in 214,000, making it NBC's most streamed golf telecast ever. So all of that kind of shows you, like, the TV numbers kind of show you. And I think maybe the U.S. Open would be wise to keep feeding things out west. And I wonder how much of it is the intrigue because of the LIV versus PGA Tour rivalry / merger now, and maybe people are, oh, this is on 7 o'clock, I'm gonna turn it on. I'm a little more intrigued by this than maybe whatever baseball game is on in their local market. So yeah, the television ratings are certainly something to look out for here. And if you want to join us here, 312-332-3776. I will say my one gripe with the television coverage is that I don't have Peacock. So I can't watch during the day, like up until, 1 o'clock when it flips to USA Network. I haven't been able to watch up until 1 o'clock. Like the other majors, everything's been on ESPN Plus. I do have ESPN Plus, and I'm sure there's people that are in the inverse boat of what I'm in that have Peacock but don't have ESPN Plus. So they haven't been able to watch some of the early coverage of the Masters or the PGA Championship. But now it's their turn to be the ones not complaining about not having access to some of the early coverage.
Well, normally ESPN is the one that covers this thing from sun up to sun down.
Yeah.
And this is the first time we're dealing with Peacock. And I think it's Peacock Plus is what you actually have to have.
Okay.
Because I have Peacock at the home.
So have you been able to watch it?
I have.
Okay. Did you have to upgrade something?
No. In fact, I have not tried to watch it on Peacock Plus, but when I came on the it was on USA. I'm sorry, it was on USA Thursday okay. night for me.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I have not tried Peacock Plus because I don't think I have it. I do have ESPN Plus,
mm-hmm.
But I was able to watch on USA Network.
Yep, I was able to get that. Mm-hmm.
And then I was able to flip over because they gave you like ample warning, like, hey, we're about to turn, So I went over to NBC and watched it there. But the numbers you just gave us really don't surprise me. So it makes me begin to think the ultimate question. If it were like the Masters and it was played in one place each time, if the USGA had to make a decision, we're going to play the nation's championship in one location for the next 10 years or for here on out, much like Augusta, where would you put that?
Yeah.
What course would you play?
I would personally love to see it out west just because of all of this. My pick is Pebble Beach. And I think a lot of people would kind of be in lockstep with me there because, A, you get the West Coast. B, beautiful golf course. Iconic golf course. I think you put all that together and that's your spot. It kind of marries the best of both worlds where it's like iconic golf course and you also get the primetime golf on top of that as well.
Right. And it's also a public golf course. Now, it's not public for the average mm-hmm. consumer who's going to spend $50 to go play golf.
Right.
But it is a public resort, if you will. But if it had to be over on the East Coast, I concur with you, first off. Mm-hmm. Pebble Beach makes all the logical sense out there. But if it were on the East Coast, I would probably have to go either Pinehurst or Shinnecock because Shinnecock has the first 18-hole golf course as we know it in the United States. you know, so that being said, I think that makes a logical place. But with where the USGA is going with their presence at Pinehurst, mm-hmm. with all the infrastructure they're moving in there and all the research center and the R&D and all the rules in the museum, Pinehurst makes a lot of sense, too. But it would be on the East Coast, which means we would be well within
right.
what would be happening as far as the third round now. And they're still sleeping out west.
Right.
So it's a totally different dichotomy. But it's interesting to see the numbers, and I'm sure the numbers will only escalate much, much higher, especially as this leaderboard begins to take shape. And if a fan favorite like a Ricky tends to be there by the back nine, I think everyone will be wearing their orange shirts and hats, and it'll be a Ricky love fest going down the back nine tomorrow.
Yeah, and you look at the leaderboard right now, it is a good leaderboard right now. And I think it's been pretty consistently a good leaderboard as well. When you, like, I remember one point I was looking up and I see, all right, there's Ricky, there's Xander, there's DJ, there's Scotty Scheffler. Like, there were big time names on that leaderboard, top to bottom. And right now, you look at where it's at, it's Ricky, Wyndham Clark, who people probably aren't all too familiar with, but then it's Rory, Xander, Harris English, probably not going to excite the masses, but then there's DJ, Scotty Scheffler. Sam Bennett, I think, has captured some eyes after what he did at the Masters, and this is his follow-up act here. Scotty Scheffler, I mentioned. Cam Smith in sole possession of 10th right now. Tony Finau in 11th. Like, there's some names here that I think get people excited and get people to want to tune in. And there's some other names that I think could have an early start today where, okay, let's say they start 3-4 under through the first 9-10 holes, you shoot their names right back into this. Like, Colin Morikawa finished really hot yesterday. Can he roll that momentum into today? And if he can, all right, then all of a sudden there's another name right there. Bryson DeChambeau struggled a little bit down the stretch there, but okay, if he can regain some of that, boom, he'll be right back in the thick of things. John Rahm's had an up and down round. Brooks Koepka's been up and down. So it's just kind of looking through all these different names here, and I think you're going to get a pretty fun Sunday when it's all said and done.
And I think what you just laid out is exactly what the USGA are hoping. They're hoping for some of these bigger names to have a great moving day, which is Saturday, and climb into this thing. The thing they don't want to see is to see Wyndham Clark or Ricky go on a tear and start to really pull away from this field and make it a one-man horse race, and then there's really not much to watch come primetime tomorrow night. But yeah, I totally agree. We've got the makings of a lot of who's who that are on the leaderboard, but we also have a lot of future stars on this leaderboard. Guys are not going to just win a major. They're going to win several, and this will probably be the first of several, but it's just who will win their first. I think we're going to have a first-time winner, and I think it's going to be great. And again, just because of who he is, I'm pulling like heck for Ricky.
Yeah,
I picked him, but I just think he is so good for this game. And I actually think for the first time, I sense the first amount of calmness amongst the players and amongst the constituents. And for the first time, we're really just watching the U.S. Open golf for what it is. Yeah, there's the PGA and LIV thing that's still out there. But I think the best thing that happened last week was what happened, and we just don't know. So we're all having to be satisfied with the fact that nobody knows.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
There's no road mapping right
now. Not yet.
But
what we do know is the road map takes us out to LA Country Club North. So let's go focus our attention there. And then we'll come back to this next week.
Right.
Because it's not going anywhere, folks. And in fact, it might actually be delayed because Jay Monahan had a
that's another sort
that's
of
another
story that,
there. Yeah, but that's, yeah, I mean, and hopefully he's doing well, mm-hmm. but I can only imagine the amount of stress that poor man has had on his life, and who knows what caused it, but stress and illnesses kind of go together, and who knows what happened. But our prayers and thoughts are with Jay and his family during this time. But at the same time, it's been a bit of a nice, you know, break, if you will, from all of this, you know, at each other's throat, all of the, you know, it's kind of, once they said we have put the lawsuit to rest, we are dropping the charges, it seemed like there's this collective sigh in relief out there. And honestly, I think it's allowing some of these LIV players to play more free and to be more like, hey, we're back with you guys. We're not necessarily the enemies anymore. Although, yeah, there's still probably some hard feelings between some. But on the other hand, I think it's lending itself or allowing the U.S. Open to have a week that should be about just the U.S. Open.
Yeah, by the way, if you missed it, Jay Monahan has been absent from the U.S. Open because he has had a medical condition, an undisclosed medical condition come up. So he has not been present at the U.S. Open this week. All right, you want to talk U.S. Open with us, 312-332-3776. Are you pulling for Ricky like the rest of us here on the show? Are you pulling for Ricky? I think it'd be great for golf. I think he'd be an awesome first-time major winner, a guy not out of left field, but he would be thrust back into the spotlight, and I think that would be really good for golf. Do you agree with us? 312-332-3776. Or maybe you're pulling for a guy like Rory, who has just been on the precipice, has struggled a little bit. His game just hasn't been where he's wanted it to be this year, and this would be kind of the thing that vaults him back into the winning circle once again. 312-332-3776. Talking about it with you here on ESPN 1000. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. We'll be right back here on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro golf bag. Talking some U.S. Open with you here on ESPN 1000. Ricky Fowler is your leader right now at 10 under, followed by Wyndham Clark 9 under, then a tie for third with Rory McIlroy and Xander Schauffele, each 8 under, two strokes off the lead. If you want to talk with us, 312-332-3776. Mark is in South Bend. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Enjoying your talk on the U.S. Open. I'm thinking if you just want to make it a prime time event, you still would want the tournament to move to the East Coast. And I think, you know, Pebble Beach already has a tournament there once every year, the AT&T. You wouldn't want to play it at a place that already had a tournament. And the only way they can make that fair in the U.S. Open is deep, rough, narrow fairways. Now, if you, like in Pinehurst, what you can do, you can make it a prime time event. Put light extensions up on the last five holes, so the finishing round would be around 10 o'clock Eastern time. Or if you're playing at Wing Foot or whatever, they have the technology to do that, put the last five or six holes under lights.
Wow, that would be absolutely incredible.
Thanks for the call, Mark. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I
love the creativity. I love the idea of it, of getting night golf like that. Just don't ever see it happen.
Yeah, but the only problem would be if a wayward shot went, you know, and the lighting didn't encompass. It's one thing to do it for like a shootout, like a skins game or that.
Yeah.
Even
the match, yeah,
if you will, because there's only a couple of balls in play.
Right.
But you got 150 plus players running around out there. And, you know, even after they make the cut, the top 60 or 70 plus ties and all the rest of it, you're going to run into some issues there when something ricochets off of somewhere and now we can't find it.
Yeah.
And everybody get their pit helmets out and flashlights and let's go out look for that one Titleist too. But it really, if you could do what he suggested by putting it in the Eastern time zone and do the prime time, well, that would be absolute utopia. I mean, NBC, CBS, they'd all line up for that in a heartbeat for sure.
I don't see the feasibility of it all.
The traditionalists of the game, unfortunately, won't allow that to happen, at least probably in my lifetime. Now, maybe they'll come up with some new technology down the road that it's like natural sunlight the way they do it, and they can make it appear like it's day when it really isn't. But for the time being, I don't see that happening.
I'm with you. 312-332-3776. You want to talk U.S. Open with us, Jax and Carol Stream. What's up, Jack?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jack.
Just thought I'd reach out to you and say, you know, I'm a cynical guy, I admit it, but is it just very convenient that Jay Monahan suddenly got sick right now, and is this the first step of him exiting from the stage altogether?
I get what you're saying there, Jack. Appreciate the phone call. I'm going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. Like, listen, he's been under a lot of stress, and you brought it up. Like, sometimes the stress does lead to medical conditions.
I'm
not going to go out there and be throwing out accusations that he's milking this right now. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. For whatever you think of him and what he's done for the game of golf, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt on this personal issue.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think if they wanted to create a scenario that he's starting to remove himself from the game, I think they'd go at it a whole different manner. I think this is very legitimate. You know, and I think the way things are worded in press releases and in statements and the whatnot leads you to believe that this is, in fact, something that's, you know, somewhat serious enough to at least be at this point. I got to give Jay the benefit of the doubt here. I think if he were to pack up or say, hey, it's time for me to distance myself based on everything that happened, that's what I'm just simply going to do. I think he's an upstanding guy, an ownership type of guy. I don't think that he would have to resort to any reindeer games to mask why he's not there. I think he's just not there.
What does he have to hide from? Like, he's been very front-facing with everything that's taken place over the last 2 weeks.
That's very true. He's
faced the music, and he's taken the heat on some questions that I'm sure have been very uncomfortable for him when he's been asked about the relationship with the Saudis and the PIF. So I think he's faced the music, and I don't think he's trying to hide and beat around the bush here at all. I really think, like, this is just something that, again, an inconvenient time, but I think it's something that is legitimate.
Yeah, and I agree. And I'll tell you, it makes you really think forward to when the next series of Full Swing comes out. I have made a mental note. I really want to watch this particular week or the week of last week to see how much access the cameras were given. And when you mentioned how uncomfortable I'm sure the week became for him when he walked into that Lions Den for that players meeting, I'm praying that Full Swing had some form of a camera in there to be able to at least get some of it, because yeah, I'm sure the tension was so thick you could have cut it with a knife. And I'm sure some of the things that he had to hear from his own members were probably tough, but he probably had to have full faith in what he was doing was the right thing. And it may not appear or feel that way to the guys in the room, because quite frankly, they probably don't know everything that he knows in terms of some of the discussions and some of the things that were said between, you know, he and Yasir were probably not ready for public consumption just yet. But that's where the guys have to have full faith in Jay that he's doing the right thing in the bigger picture. It may not feel that way right now, but yeah, I think you just got to still have your faith in Jay until, you know, he proves otherwise.
Yep. 312-332-3776. You want to join us here on the CDGA Golf Show, talking all things U.S. Open with you here on ESPN 1000. Ricky Fowler, your leader right now. I do want to get into it in just a second, but I'm gonna pull up some of the odds here, and we're gonna look at some of the people that maybe could make a little bit of a run. Maybe there's a little bit of value on them as well. We'll do that. Take all your. Actually, quickly, let's go to Randy in Orland Park. What's up, Randy?
Hi, guys.
Hey, Randy.
Morning.
Hey, I was just wanting to comment on Koepka yesterday after the round. Made comments he didn't like the course. It should be even par and stuff. I just felt he's a little bitter because he's not playing well, and he doesn't seem to remember that he wanted Aaron Hills at 16 under.
Yep.
I bet he didn't complain about that.
Yeah, and it's a good point there, Randy. Appreciate the phone call. Like, Brooks has seen both ends of the pendulum with his U.S. Open victories. He's got a 16 under and a 1 over for his winning scores. So he hasn't seen this sort of in the middle here. I guess we're trending more towards the 16 under than the 1 over here. But like, I get his frustrations but I don't think it's something that it's not necessarily on the course per se. I think the way that the weather's kind of shook out over the last week or so has fed this course to play the way that it has, and it's been relatively easy for some of these golfers.
After reading what Brooks said, you know, I translated it as simply like this. Please put it back in the state of New York. I mean, because that's where he wins, right?
Yeah.
I agree with Randy. I think his comments were a bit on the emotional side because he can't get things going as easy as he did at the Masters and the PGA. Still having a nice tournament from, you know, most mortals' perspective. But when you're at the level that Brooks is playing at, he expected more, I think, out of himself. And he's crabby. He can be that way. And that's where sometimes Brooks doesn't necessarily endear himself to a lot of people and a lot of fans. A lot of guys love him, whether he's this way or very vulnerable like he showed in Full Swing. Right now, he's got his confidence back and his swagger. To me, this is a little bit of Brooks just being Brooks. And sometimes he'll say these things just to stoke his own fire. And I wouldn't be surprised if he turns around and shoots a 63 today.
Right.
And climbs back into this thing in a big, big way. That might be just his own way to kind of motivate himself. It's me against a golf course that I'm not liking because it's doing this. But the moment it yields a nice 63 or a 62 for you,
yeah,
it'll be quick how quickly you fall.
He can be in
love. Yeah.
He can be a little bit of a sore loser. Yeah, at
little,
times.
Little salty.
That's just Brooksy. All right. 312-332-3776. If you want to talk U.S. Open with us here on ESPN 1000, we're talking a little bit about the course. I do want to go through some of the odds of maybe some of the long shots that could have a little bit of a comeback effort coming up. We'll do that in just a few minutes. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Tullamore Golf Resort, experience a Michigan masterpiece. You want to talk U.S. Open with us? 312-332-3776. Some of the odds for the U.S. Open here. These are on FanDuel Sportsbook. So right now, the favorite, even though Ricky's in the lead, Rory McIlroy, your favorite at 3-1 right now. Ricky Fowler plus 360. Xander Schauffele at 4-1. Wyndham Clark currently in second place. He's plus 650. Scottie Scheffler at 7-1. DJ 12-1. Harris English 22-1. Minwoo Lee 28-1. Cam Smith 30-1. And then a few others that are currently 70-1 or longer right now. If you look at a guy who's not in that top three right now, who do you think, Mike, has the best chance to maybe elevate, maybe have a really strong Saturday, funnel that into a good Sunday, and walk away as a champion?
Well, you know, when you mentioned 12-1, I love DJ at 12-1.
I think that's a good pick there.
I really do. I think his ability to drive the golf ball and just his overall attitude. I mean, he looks like he was born and raised in L.A. I mean, the guy walks around as calm and as, like, I'm not sure he even has a heartbeat at times. He's just so calm and cool and collected. But he drives it well, and when he's on with that driver, he's long, straight, and he can putt like crazy. And so if he gets those two going, I could see him throwing a pair of 66s or 65s at the field and see what happens next. But he's really the guy I've got my eye on right now.
You look at his second hole yesterday, he slaps a snowman up there,
yeah,
looking like your average amateur golfer out there. If he doesn't do that, he's tied for the lead with Ricky. If he pars that hole somehow, he's tied for the lead with Ricky right now.
Oh, no doubt.
10 under.
And, you know, what's funny, too, is you mentioned the quad that he made, the snowman. But yet he shot even par. And that's the first time in U.S. Open history that that's ever been done. Somebody making a quad and yet still finishing even par for the event. So, to me, you know, you got the Gretzky family out in L.A., right in the neighborhood. There's just something that feels very, like, DJ-esque, like that something's going to happen this weekend. I feel it, you know, in my heart of hearts right now that I think he's the guy that could really make some noise here today and mostly tomorrow.
Yeah, I look at DJ, that I think that's a good pick right there. The other one that I'm always going to eye to, I mean, Scottie Scheffler, man. If he is playing as well as anyone right now, and it doesn't feel like he's playing all-around golf per se.
Right.
Like, sometimes you see him struggle a little bit with the putter at times, but he's 5 under right now, making it look very easy. And I just look at what he's done. He's currently 5 strokes out. I could see Scotty going 5 under today and then maybe a 3 under on Sunday and walk away with this thing.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and a lot of people get all up about the fact that, well, Scotty's not putting, you know, as well as he once did. He had to get a new putter. You know, folks, getting a new putter for these guys is like you and I going to the store and getting a new pack of gum. I mean, it's we know how to chew it. We know how to use it. It's just it's going to be a different flavor and a different look. And these guys are so good. There was one guy that won 8 times on tour. And in this 1 year when he won 3 times, he told me he went through 8 putters. 8. And he had one of his best years.
Yeah.
So for these guys to go through a putter, it's not like the end of the world. Now, for them to change a driver or their irons, totally different ball game here. But when it's the putter, it's kind of like dating girls. It's like, which one do you want to date this week, you know? And he's going to go with a different look, and that might be the one that gets him through this week, and it could be a different putter next week. But to me, the guy's got skills, and I agree with you. Scotty's another one out there that could easily be atop of the leaderboard. Another one I look to is Cameron Smith. I mean,
yeah,
you got to remember, the guy was golfer of the year, and it was less than a year ago, and he's still among the very, very best out there. And he's just quietly hovering at 4 under par, all by his lonesome in 10th spot. So I look at potentially Cameron or DJ to have a nice weekend.
Cam Smith looks like someone right now who you're just kind of waiting for a 64.
Yep.
Waiting for a 64, maybe even a 63. One of the best putters out there right now. Like, he feels like one of those guys that by tomorrow we could see him, maybe not in the final group, but in the penultimate group, and he could go out, make some noise, and be watching on 18 as he wins the U.S. Open.
Absolutely. And the firepower that he has, or even a Tony Finau, that guy can light it up at any given point. But you're right. Cam Smith, because of his ability to putt, if he starts hitting some shots in from the fairway tight and gets that putter going, it could easily be a 64, even a 63 out there. It's going to be interesting to see once they do start to tee off how they are taking to the course in round 3. Got to remember, a lot of these guys have not seen this golf course much at all in their travels because, folks, let's face it, LA Country Club is one of the most prestigious, private, exclusively private, and they don't care who you are, how much golf you've played, how much money you have in the bank. You're just not going to get out there to play. And that has been one of the bugaboos with the USGA. They've wanted to take a tournament there, as has the PGA of America, for not years, decades. And finally, we are having an opportunity to see one of the finest golf courses in our country. But you know, the way they design this in a way has led others to believe, oh, it's easy. But these guys really don't know the course. And in fact, Sam Bennett mentioned that he didn't play on Monday. He just practiced. He played nine holes on Tuesday and he played the back nine on Wednesday. So they're still feeling out this golf course.
Yeah.
But now the difference between these guys feeling out a golf course and you and I feeling out a golf course is entirely different.
Yeah.
So these guys totally understand what's going on. And yeah, I think that as they play today and into tomorrow, their knowledge and their ability is just going to get stronger.
All right. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf. Without the Drive, the CDGA Golf Show. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.